Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. I'm Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines tonight, plenty of room for you to get in with your question. Maybe you've got a question about a scripture passage. Maybe you heard something in church recently. You're still scratching your head, wondering about it. Hey, let's make it a conversation together right now, 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear, we do love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've already called us in the past, but it's been a while and you've got something brand new on your heart tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, 877-655-6755. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on right now in your marriage, with your kids, in your church. You're looking for that Grace Message perspective. We are live for that very reason right now. Again, that number, 877-655-6755. Now, if you're live streaming with us on Facebook or YouTube, and you're wondering how you can be a part of tonight's broadcast, well, simply phone in and join us just like anyone else. We would love to hear from you. We've got an open line or two open lines right now still remaining with, 25 minutes ahead of us. So go for it. Give us a call. Be a part of the conversation. 877-655-6755. We're going to start out in Georgia tonight, and we'll talk with Juanita. Hey, Juanita, what do you got for us tonight?
Hey, Andrew. I was just calling because, I've been under attack a lot from the enemy lately, and I wanted to find out if you could tell me, what it means to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Sure. Well, what you're talking about there, my friend, it comes from the book of Revelation. And really, it's talking about why we overcome in life and then why we are more than victorious at the final judgment. So when we look at this passage in Revelation chapter 12, right around verse 11, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto the death. So it's interesting. We've got this chapter here. As you back up a few verses, what you find is there's a dragon that was cast out, a serpent, the devil, Satan. He deceives the whole world. He's cast out into the earth. His angels or demons are cast out with him. And yet there's a group. There's a group that overcomes. There's a group that knows better. The accuser is there, but the brothers and sisters in Christ, even though they were accused day and night, they overcame. So it is relating to this idea of taking every thought captive. It's relating to the idea of facing temptation. And it is certainly, you mentioned spiritual warfare. A lot of people hear that term, and they might imagine something that is just apocalyptic in nature, something over the top, casting out demons and talking to Satan and all of that. But in reality, what's happening here is every day, all day long, we can be tempted, we can be accused. It feels like a thought. It doesn't feel like, you know, an angelic being coming at us with a sword. It feels like a thought. And many times that thought is very familiar to us. It's a familiar thought, something that we've given into a dozen times or 50 times. It feels like us. It sounds like us. And that's the way the enemy works. The enemy wants to convince you that, you know what, you can't help this. This is just who you are. I mean, you're just a sinner that sins, and you've already done it 50 times, so why would it hurt to do one more? Why not pile one more on the pile? Because, hey, you're already dirty. You've already blown it. Why not? And so that's how the enemy operates. There's basically a 1-2 punch. We see the temptation, and then we see the accusation. We see the temptation because there's this nasty thought that travels down the hallway of our minds. And then there's the accusation of having that thought. I can't believe I'm thinking this. What kind of Christian am I? What's wrong with me? What if people knew? So there's an accusation that follows a temptation. And we might experience that day and night. And that's why so many Christians are convinced that their identity is dirty, rotten sinner. And unfortunately, in some churches, you might even hear that, and they think that's humility. We've got the wrong idea about humility. We think that humility is talking badly or talking about ourselves in a negative light. Oh, I'm just a dirty sinner. Thank God that I get to go to heaven anyway. And we think that's humility. Well, real humility is saying the same thing that God says about you. No more, and also no less. So when it comes to overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, I think that phrase is really referring to the sacrifice of Jesus. And when we fix our eyes on Him, we realize, you know what? There's no accusation that holds any weight. If God is for me, then who in the world can be against me? And sure, the enemy tries to convince me there's a file drawer a mile high about my performance. But the truth of the cross, the finished work of Christ, all of that, it says, wait a minute, there is no file drawer. God destroyed it. He keeps no record book. There's no record of my wrongs. So that's how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We've got an accuser, and he has a strategy day and night. First temptation, and then accusation, trying to make you feel shame and guilt for the thoughts that you've got in your head. And when we realize where those thoughts are really coming from, and we realize that we don't have to feel guilty for having those thoughts hit our mind, it's not a sin to have a thought. It's sinful only when we entertain it and follow through with it. So we can say no to temptation, but we can also say no to accusation, because of the blood of Christ. Our sins are gone. God keeps no record. He remembers our sins no more. So when you hear the voice of the accuser, don't for a minute suppose that it's God. And I'm afraid that, you know, without a good education in God's grace, we don't know the difference between the voice of the accuser and the voice of our Heavenly Father. I mean, how many times have Christians succumb to the accusation of the enemy, calling it the conviction of the Holy Spirit? I mean, I've known Christians, and I've experienced it in my own life, where I just felt beat up. I mean, I felt beat up, and I thought it was the Holy Spirit. He's coming down on me. And I've heard people talk about the Spirit that way. And that's why we even have to be real clear about conviction. I mean, that term is so misused in the religious world today. The term convict is never used for a Christian about their sins. Not in the New Testament. You won't see the word convict there for a Christian concerning their sins. Why? Because we're not convicts, and we haven't been convicted. We're not awaiting a punishment after a trial. We have been declared holy and righteous and blameless, and we're children of God, born of the Spirit, protected by the hand of God. God is always for us, never against us. And so, Yes, the Holy Spirit is our comforter and our counselor, and yes, he disciples us and disciplines us and shows us a better way. But even that discipline, it is training for the future. It's not punishment for the past. And God is not heaping on the guilt. He doesn't motivate us by guilt or shame. He will never shame us. So when we're feeling that sort of thing and experiencing those kind of messages and thoughts, we've got to see that is not God, and that is not the Holy Spirit. That's not how he acts toward us. So I know it's tough. I mean, we've never had a life coach like this. We've never had a life coach who said, "You know what? I'm going to keep no record of anything you do wrong. I'm not going to punish you for the past. I'm going to hold nothing against you. There's no scorekeeping, no clipboard, and you're perfect with me. Now, come let me teach you a new and better way to live." I mean, we've never had a coach like this. And certainly, we've never had a coach who first started off the relationship by giving his life and clearing out our track record and giving us perfect status. So the way, what I'm saying is, the way God treats us is with such dignity that we might not even recognize it at first. And we start settling for the voice of the enemy, calling that the conviction of God's Spirit. But remember that the book of Hebrews says the Holy Spirit also testifies, "Their sins and lawless acts I remember no more." So the Holy Spirit also testifies that he doesn't remember your sins anymore. So he's not drudging up the past. He's training you toward a better future. So, of course, God cares about our behavior, our attitudes, our actions, but he's not convicting us like we're a convict. We're not awaiting trial and punishment. And my goodness, most of all, we just got to know, hey, the entire Trinity is pleased to have us. The entire Trinity agrees about the finished work of Christ. The entire Trinity declares that our sins are gone, and that's how God treats us. He treats us like we've never sinned a day in our lives, and that's how we overcome. We overcome by the word of our testimony, and our testimony is, "Look what Jesus did for me." That's our testimony. We also overcome by this blood of the Lamb, and that's Jesus hanging on a cross 2,000 years ago, doing away with your sins once for all, so that you could know your status and know your condition and be certain about it and realize that you're safe and secure and forgiven and right and clean and close. That's the finished work of the cross. That's the gospel. That's the real thing. And it's awesome. So, Juanita, I'll put you back on and see. Does that encourage you? Does that help, my friend?
Yes, that's awesome. Yes.
All right. Well, call us back anytime. Love hearing from you there. And feel free, anytime you got something new, reach out to us. All right. Let's go to Canada, and we'll talk with Ron. Hey, Ron, what do you got?
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Farley. I want to know about my friend. He apparently was born again, and he was baptized Christian. He started going to a SDA church, and he's telling me that I'm not keeping God's seventh day holy. Is God's seventh day still holy?
I see. Well, every day belongs to God, and that's the truth. I mean, here we are, we live under a new covenant. And are we going to say that we're dead to the law except for the Sabbath? Are we going to say that we're free from the law except for the Sabbath? Are we going to say that Christ is the end of the law except for the Sabbath? I don't get it. I mean, it's pretty clear that the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments, right? And when we look at Paul's teaching on the Ten Commandments, it is so very clear. The Ten Commandments are not an exception. They're not an exception to the finished work of Christ. Jesus didn't say, I came to fulfill some of the law. He didn't say, I came to free you from some of the law. He says, Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. So when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think this is really going to help you, my friend. You might take note of this and maybe share it with your friend. I'm not saying you're going to win some argument. Some people are not looking for help. And it sounds like your friend is trying to, quote, help you, trying to help you into some serious Sabbath keeping, if you know what I mean. And so he's probably not going to listen to you, but at least for your own sake, so that you're convinced in your own mind, I would encourage you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and right there, smack dab in the middle of that chapter, you're going to find some beautiful words about the Ten Commandments, and then about a new way that is better than the Ten Commandments. Now, there's a lot of Christian teachers, I'm just going to say, there's a lot of Christian teachers that aren't really teaching this. The most popular theology out there in evangelical Christianity is that Jesus freed us from the ceremonial law. You know, Jesus freed us from the sacrificial law, but that he did not free us from the moral law, and that's what keeps us behaving right, they say. So, sounds to me like some folks will take Jesus, they'll take Jesus for his sacrifice, they'll take Jesus for his blood, but they won't take him for his morality. For that, they're going to Moses. And so what do we read in 2 Corinthians 3 about the Ten Commandments? It says there's a ministry that was engraved on stone. And it says in verse 7, this ministry brought death. And then later in verse 9, it says this ministry brought condemnation. And then later it says this ministry has no glory now. So if I'm following Paul's thought here in 2 Corinthians 3, I have to conclude three things about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, which are engraved on stone, they are, number one, a ministry that brings death. I don't want that, do you? Number two, the Ten Commandments engraved on stone are a ministry that brings condemnation. I don't want that, do you? And then number three, the Ten Commandments engraved on stone have no glory now in comparison with the glory of the new covenant. So I don't know what to tell your friend other than what Scripture says. And in fact, I think this message needs to be shouted from the rooftops. In fact, this is one of the hallmarks of our ministry. This is why we exist. To help encourage Christians today that we live under a new covenant and that we shouldn't be flirting with Moses. Flirting with Moses is cheating on Jesus, and we have no business saying that Jesus fulfilled some of the law. We have no business telling people that Jesus is the end of some of the law. And we certainly have no business telling Jesus we'll take his blood, but not his morality. It is not the moral law that keeps us on the straight and narrow. It is the Holy Spirit living in us. And that is exactly what 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says. It says, after telling us the Ten Commandments are a ministry of condemnation and death, it says the ministry of the Spirit is more glorious. And it is a ministry that brings righteousness. And it has a surpassing glory. So if we have a new ministry, a ministry of the Spirit, a new covenant, a ministry that brings righteousness, and a ministry that has surpassing glory, why in the world would we go back to tablets of stone talking about Friday night to Saturday night, stopping all your emails, not mowing that lawn, not trimming those hedges? I mean, is that really what the Spirit of God is doing in us? No. The Sabbath was a shadow and a picture of resting in Jesus. And that is the true spiritual rest that we enjoy today. So, you know, that's not the only passage that is so powerful. I mean, in addition to 2 Corinthians 3, we also have the famous passage, Romans 7. And in Romans 7, Paul is talking about the Ten Commandments. How do I know? Because he's talking about thou shalt not covet. And thou shalt not covet is one of the ten. And so in that passage, he says, if you're under the Ten Commandments, if you're under the law, guess what's going to happen? Sin of every kind. Under the Ten Commandments, there'll be sin of every kind. Under thou shalt not covet, there'll be coveting of every kind. And then what solution does he offer? Apart from the law, sin is dead. Hello, maybe we need to read that one slower in Christianity today, because we're just not getting it. I mean, the moral law, the Ten Commandments on stone, is not an exception. Look, it's about our source. Where are we looking? Nobody thinks that murder is okay. Nobody thinks that lying or cheating on your spouse is okay. Of course, it's sin. But the question is, what is your source? Are you looking to tablets of stone? Do you have a coveting problem? How about you trust Jesus instead of Moses? Do you have a stealing problem? How about you trust Jesus instead of Moses? So why would we settle for tablets of stone as if, you know, us waking up and obeying 10 things or 9 things, as if that's the goal? Come on, the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is what it's all about. And you'll notice it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the law. The law kills, and the Spirit gives life. So I know your friend, he's arguing for, well, he's arguing for the Sabbath, and, you know, that's just a little part of this problem. The root issue is not the Sabbath. The root issue is, what has Jesus done? What has he done about the law? And where do you get your motivation? What inspires you? So I wonder if we might be willing to let our lives be a miracle. Let our lives be a testimony, not to our law keeping, not to the power of Moses, not to our ability to keep rules written on stone. I wonder if we would allow our lives to be a miracle where we end up bearing the fruit of the Spirit only through the miraculous. You know, anybody can try to keep the Ten Commandments. Anybody can have a bunch of religious rules. There are a lot of world religions that have principles to live by. And many of them do look to the Old Testament Ten Commandments, and some of the laws in other religions are very similar to that. Is that going to be our testimony when you're 98 years old on your deathbed? Do you want people to say, wow, what a law keeper she was? Or do you want them to say, you know, she was always reflecting the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm not sure how she did it. She kept talking about that grace. She kept talking about that freedom. And yet, I didn't see her secretly running around trying to sin more. Her testimony was the grace of God taught her to say no to sin and to live an upright life. Now, what if that could be your testimony? That somehow, some way, because Jesus has risen from the dead, because he lives in you, because he dwells inside of you to inspire and motivate you, that's how you end up living uprightly? Well, I gotta tell you, if that's what's happening, that's a miracle. That means he did rise from the dead. That means he is alive today. That means that your life is truly a testimony of his resurrection power.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.